How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You've seen it. You have to have seen it. If you haven't seen it, you've been doing something other than never even glanced at a television screen or a computer screen or your smartphone or any other kind of device in the last 48 hours. You've seen the picture of Caitlyn Jenner. That's what she wants to be called. And she wants to be a she, and she wants to be referred to with that pronoun. And the media has devoted all of its considerable resources to, well, not only confirming and affirming that, but enforcing that for the rest of us. We are looking at now Caitlyn Jenner on the cover of Vanity Fair. Very feminine picture, although I don't know if it would stand up to the scrutiny of taking away all the Photoshop and the makeup, but they've done their best to put together a very female picture of this man. Call me Caitlyn, he says, or she says, depending on who's writing the story. So it's a firestorm, but is there something to note here about transgenderism that's different than other parts of the sexual revolution? Because she wants to be called a woman, and he wants to look and sound and be believed as a woman. And that's a very traditional gender role, a very traditional way of thinking about gender, isn't it? Joining us to talk about Bruce Jenner and traditional gender norms, Daniel Davis. He's a writer and intern for Town Hall Media, and he's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Bruce Jenner's Transformation is a Lose-Lose for Liberal Ideology. Daniel, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on, Todd.
Why is it that Bruce Jenner's very public, apparent transformation from male to female in the last several months, especially with the Vanity Fair cover that's just been everywhere in front of everyone's eyes, why is that a problem for the larger liberal sexual revolution?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, the liberal sexual ideology, which, you know, has been moving forward in the sexual revolution for decades now, it wants to deny that gender has any specific physical meaning. So they want to separate biological sex, so like your male and female bodies, from the idea of gender. So gender becomes a feeling that, you know, you're inclined to feel a certain way, and has nothing to do with your body. The problem here is that transgenderism runs up against that. It collides with that, because when people want to make a statement about changing their gender, like Bruce Jenner, the only way they can do that, the only way they can display their gender is by doing something physical. You know, so when Bruce Jenner wants to show that he's actually a female on the inside, he goes and gets a sex change, or he goes and dresses up like a female and wears traditionally female attire and poses on the front of a magazine. And so the problem, I guess really the problem boils down to the fact that liberal, and I guess really this is radical liberals that want to deny any real male-female differences, are just going to run up against Bruce Jenner in this, because Bruce Jenner is going to have to refer to gender norms in order to make his statement.
So it's not just Bruce Jenner, this not just the fact that we have a very public person and celebrity doing this in a very media-savvy way, so to speak, but this is a problem for all transgenderism. Transgenderism forces liberalism to accept traditional gender norms, ironically. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Transgenderism is trying to express what it means to be a male or a female. They're just trying to change their, you know, the gender that they were born with. And if you want to make any statement about, you know, this is what it means for me to be a male or a female, you can only do that by referring to cultural standards of what it means to be male or female. And you can only do it by referring to your body. So yeah, this is a problem. This is really a problem between this sort of entrenched liberal sexual ideology and this new coming transgenderism.
So talk about the sexual revolution's attempt to, in a little more detail, their attempt to disconnect gender from the physical body.
Yeah, so a good analogy that I'd find is the body and soul, right? So especially as Christians, we believe that we are fundamentally souls and bodies, that we have bodies, and our souls and our bodies are mysteriously kind of woven together, and they can't be separated. And in kind of an analogous sense, the gender, at least in liberal theory, there's gender on the one hand, which they want to say is your internal feelings, your orientation, your gender on the inside. And then on the other hand, there's your engendered body, your biological sex is the term. So I think the problem is really rooted in that distinction. I don't think we need to be making that distinction. Certainly Christian ethics would not make that distinction. So we would say that the sex that you're born with physically, that's how we know what gender we are. And I don't even want to use those terms, you know, because they've been misused, you know, over the years in the sexual revolution. So when I say I don't even know if the term gender is helpful anymore. But sex and gender, those two ideas being divorced in liberal ideology, and I think that's just something that we can't do, and it's actually impossible to do, as Bruce Jenner is proving. It's impossible to make that distinction because, as I noted earlier, you know, gender means nothing outside of an actual physical representation of it.
Up to this point, the sexual revolution has been able to skirt this issue because they've spoken largely of orientation, which is simply a psychological and emotional phenomenon. And they haven't talked about gender, but essentially what sounds like what they're trying to do is say that gender is as fluid as sexual orientation is, but they can't do it because the body gets in the way. Because sexual orientation is irrespective of one's gender, but gender can't be irrespective of physical gender.
Yeah, that's right. So you're right, exactly. They've had more leeway with the gay and lesbian issue, and then sort of trailing behind it now, the transgender issue. Interestingly, it's almost emboldened by the recent successes of the gay and lesbian movement. But yeah, when you start trying to separate gender from biological sex, you really can't make it work. So yeah, just going to run into problems with that.
Now, liberal ideology is not known for its logical consistency, so probably few people will lose any sleep over this, but there are a few who've noticed that Bruce Jenner's Vanity Fair coming out was reinforcing old sexual stereotypes as they would conceive of it. Haven't there been?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I mentioned, actually, Mark Lamont Hill, who's worked at the Huffington Post, and he does his Huffington Post live shows, he tweeted about this, and this was actually which first got me thinking about writing this article. It's interesting. He was in a tough spot because, on the one hand, he wants to affirm this transgender, you know, right to define yourself, right? That's at the core of liberal ideology. I get to define who I am, completely autonomous, certainly from God and revelation. So he wants to affirm that impulse. But on the other hand, he wants to avoid any kind of gender narratives about what it means to be a woman or a man, because that's the project that liberals are, in this sexual sense, are all about. It's interesting because he said, yeah, I affirm this, you know, he should have the right to do this, but, you know, we shouldn't be reverting to cultural standards of womanhood, you know, because then you just look like you're capitulating to the old patriarchy. And so you really can't have your cake and eat it. So he wants to affirm transgenderism in the abstract. He wants to say, well, I respect your right to define who you are, but you shouldn't, in order to do that, you shouldn't use the cultural language of, you know, I'm wearing these clothes or I'm behaving in this certain way, because he thinks that those are inherently oppressive. So liberal ideology thinks that those kinds of gender distinctions that we have in culture are not only socially constructs, they're not only fake, but they're actually oppressive, which I don't agree with that, but that's where he finds himself. So I think he's a good picture in this instance of where the left might find itself in the years to come, because this will be kind of a wedge, I think.
Well, I mean, it sounds as though he's simply saying, you know, go for it, Bruce or Caitlin, if you want to, but your Vanity Fair images are oppressive to women.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. So it's sort of like, how's he supposed to go about it? I mean, I don't know if it's possible to go through his kind of sex change and public transformation without referring to these cultural norms that we all operate out of. So I think he's sort of setting him up for an impossible task, and I think it robs. So the transgender community truly believes that they are inherently either male or female. And so they want to claim authenticity to those realities. And they didn't believe they're real. But Mark Lamont Hill doesn't believe that they're real and thinks that they're oppressive. And yeah.
I want to explore this a little bit more, just kind of with a hypothetical. because at first, when Bruce Jenner was in the public, he was simply claiming that he was misgendered. And then he kind of sheepishly said, yes, I am for all intents and purposes a woman. Of course, he hadn't had any surgery or anything like that. Had he simply stuck with the misgendered claim, I am a woman even though I am physically a man, and had he gone on Vanity Fair dressed as, say, the Marlboro Man, a very masculine image, but still saying, call me Caitlin, that probably would have made everybody in the liberal sexual revolution happy, because it keeps it in the abstract. The fact that he wants to physically transition to a female form, not a female ontologically, but a female form, is the real problem here, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's testifying to the fact that we are inescapably soul and body, and those two are supposed to correlate. And some liberals would like to keep them separate, but I think if Bruce were to say, I am a woman, but I'm going to keep my male body, that would keep it more tenable for the liberal movement, but it would be undermining the whole transgender impulse. And so it's really one or the other.
Two final questions for you. Is there any possibility? We talked before about how logical consistency is an integral part of liberal thinking, but is there any possibility that the Bruce Jenner, kind of the raising of the Bruce Jenner flag, backfires on the liberal agenda in a real tangible way, not just in people like you noticing it?
Yeah, so I think in one way, there's on the one hand, there's this in-house debate going to be going on where feminists aren't happy with transgenderism. But broader than that, I mean, that's not most people. People have been exposed to the gay and lesbian movement in recent years, and a few years ago, people thought it was a lot stranger than they tend to think now. And the more you see something, the more you're numbed to it and more accepting, more likely to accept it. But I think on this, I mean, people just have this intuitive sense that this is strange and weird and somehow wrong, but they can't necessarily put it into words. I mean, I've seen a few secular people on Twitter saying that this is weird or not, you know, giving some sort of statement that doesn't approve of it. And, you know, they'll retract their remarks or something when they get pressured. But I think that is testifying to the fact that a lot of people are just really uncomfortable with this and they feel that it's wrong. And I think that's where we as Christians, we have the categories and the language and the truth to really give expression to that impulse, because a lot of people will be picking up on it. And I think a lot of people will feel pressured, you know, with the gay movement. There's been a lot of social pressure to accept it. You know, if a few years ago it was, you know, you were able to be tolerated, just keep quiet. Now we're seeing more kind of social litmus tests, even if it's more informal. If that starts happening with the transgender movement, that could really backfire, because the public opinion isn't where it is on the gay issue right now. And honestly, I don't really have much basis for saying this, but my my expectation is that in the next 10 to 15 years, I don't see transgenderism gaining this kind of supermajority that we've seen with the gay and lesbian movement. So yeah, I think it could backfire. Certainly, if people feel pressured to accept it, it could definitely backfire.
And that pressure was my final question for you. How would you explain the over-the-top hostility that is coming from kind of the vocal minority of this far end of the sexual revolution? Anyone who questions Bruce Jenner, anyone who says, no, come on, he's still a guy. He can change anything he wants to, but he's still a guy, perhaps a mentally disturbed or mentally ill guy, but he's still a guy. The hostility is not just palpable, it's overwhelming. How do you explain it?
Yeah, it is overwhelming, and I think it's not entirely irrational. I think part of why it's so overwhelming is because they've equated personal feelings of gender, sexual orientation, those two things, they've equated those with human dignity itself. And so if you infringe upon my own self-definition, my own sexual orientation, or my own gender, the way I perceive myself, you're infringing upon my dignity as a human being. And so that's the way they feel. And I don't think they're necessarily being completely disingenuous about it. I think they're just wrong. And part of what we need to do is we need to show that gender and sexual attractions, I don't even want to use the term sexual orientation, I think inclinations, sexual inclinations, are not definitive at all of our humanity. And we are human beings made in the image of God, and that has nothing to do with these other aspects of our life, that we're made in the image of God, we have dignity, and debating these issues, transgenderism, homosexuality, do not infringe upon the respect that we have and ought to have for these people as made in the image of God. And so we have to remind people of that every now and then, that, you know, in fact, all the time, that because it is being more assumed in our culture now that human dignity is wrapped up with these self-definition. And so we need to be reinforcing and saying, no, we entirely believe that you are made in God's image, and we respect you, we love you, we want to speak truth and love to you, and we'll continue to debate these other issues, understanding that it doesn't compromise your dignity.
Daniel Davis is a writer and intern for Town Hall Media. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Bruce Jenner's Transformation is a Lose-Lose for a Liberal Ideology. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Daniel, thank you for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Well, I don't think the timing could be any better for two speakers that are coming up at our Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June the 19th and the 20th here in Collinsville, Illinois. We're going to have Molly Ziegler-Hemingway there. I'm sure she's rewriting her presentation as we speak, because she's going to be making the case for the differences between men and women. What better setup could she have than the Bruce Jenner story? And Pastor Jonathan Fisk is going to be making the case for the church's response to postmodernism. Of course, postmodernism has given us this sloppy, illogical ideology that permits the sexual revolution. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, Friday, June the 19th, Saturday, June the 20th, in Collinsville, Illinois, about 50 miles east of St. Louis. In addition to Pastor Fisk and Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Dr. Paul Meyer, Dr. David Menton, Pastor Will Whedon, and others there. You get to see and hear these great guests speak and have a word with them as well. Registration is $100. It includes meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. You can find out more and you can register. That's very important at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. It is the premier conference for the laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. And remember, we are limited to 400 people, and we're getting closer to 400 registrants every single day. So register now, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikencher, according to the 3-year lectionary. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
And the love of God.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.